This is After Hours programming on HRN. The views and opinions of this show do not reflect those of HeritageRadioNetwork.com, Heritage Foods USA, or any of our sponsors. Again, this is After Hours programming on HRN.
Gunwash news time. I'm here in Roberta's in Bushwick, New York. We're having like a really crazy night.
Gunwash.
No effects tonight because Spliffington's out. The sudden rise in UFO activity from around the world has sprung us into a frenzy. Our newsroom is itching to find out what's going on. Because of that, we have brought in the leading metaphysical experts of this world, Janet and Stuart Swerdlow, tonight on Gunwash. Stay tuned.
I'm not the supreme expert on cleaning guns, but I do know a little bit, and I'm just going to share my little tips and ideas with you.
Woo. Oh my God. It is 8:31 here in Bushwick, New York, and it is misting. And I took
Herbert,
some.
Herbert, we miss you.
Herbert, we do miss you.
Herbert's... I love you.
Herbert Spliffington's not here tonight. I fucking excuse my language. I got in big trouble tonight. I thought it was gonna go well, and no one came in. I actually took some time this evening to stand outside and look at the sky as it misted tonight in Brooklyn. In fact, right about the time I get off tonight at 9:30 is a great, great time to take a nice little walk around Bushwick, New York. Beautiful.
On a positive note, it started raining in Bushwick.
It started raining in Bushwick? I believe it's misting in Bushwick. It's misting.
Depending on who you ask.
Tonight on Gunwash, the sudden rise in extreme amounts of UFO sightings
all over the world.
Hold
on. What happened tonight?
We came in and got reprimanded by you, Jack, but
when I walked out to talk to you, you looked the happiest you've ever looked before a Gunwash. We were just chilling at the table, drinking beer.
Pre-commercial.
You're here mad early. You have a big guest on tonight.
Yeah.
And then
you came up to me and you said, you know what? Someone did something. Someone acted as a rapscallion here in Roberta's Pizza, and I got fucked. I'm sorry. So we're not going to... I'm not going to go too much into it, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to...
Smiling from ear to ear.
Living in Crown Heights. I was listening to Gunwash on my computer screen.
Excellent. Not to make it any more awkward in here, but that's how you do it here on Gunwash, I guess. Herbert's out this week, but we've got Mr. Jack on the controls.
And I
thank you for the sound effect, Chris.
Spliffington, where's the weed?
Spliffington,
where's the weed?
On the one night we need weed, we can't get it. I can't tell you how many different levels of emotion I've gone through tonight. Jack,
see, that shit is so easy.
Spliffington.
Julian can get weed.
AKA Jack, pull up that.
Murder.
Hey, man, they boy, they bomb, they bomb.
Herbert, we miss you.
Judge and know how me black, me slim, me tell you Papa Burrow down fat. Him DJ fi ballhead and dreadlock, but we hot. Jam and me dance no outfit and aim me hot. Jam and me dance no outfit and step on me left and me wear a digit watch. Me wear sweat but me no wear off the top. The color of me sweat that a yellow and black. Me carry me wig spot in a me diamond socks. But when me go a show, say me sit down in a box. And in the show me watch it star by Silver Fox. Me badder than this thing out of a gala was. You trouble raw wire, say you're about to get shocked. You hang a man, you hang him high in a tree top. A sound get chopper, Papa is his own that. It must be the lyrics that I borrow him chat. You want know the time, you want to prepare your watch. Your pants of a tear, I say it bound and fi patch. Your dog a flea, I say it bound and fi patch. But if you're too fat, doctor, put your panda yet. My favorite vegetable, it's a carrot. My favorite commission, it's star by a little dot. Say ticka ticka tap, me make the people them rock. The jacka from the pack, I'm on the ruler in the top. I tell your Papa Aces is the queen of the proper. I tell me Papa Burrow, I'm the money copper chatter. So when me come and dance, me say me chat them non-stop. I only up lyrics still in the head top. Hey, what that? What that chat? No respect, no that boom. What that? What that chat? No respect, no notch. You bust a one pop, I really pop a shot. You lick two shot, them off you respect that. I take a couple fence like a damn pole cat. You don't mind champ, you will pick up a tucker. And some of them are race upon them bridging by a cock. You run left in pants, even if it half match. You run left in brief, in my damn boy bat. I don't want no one come call me no notch. If you're happy and you love it, make me hear ya. But if you're happy and you love it, make me know. Oh, Lord have mercy. Yellow man, tell them how we live.
Sound a big thing now.
Yes, that's a true scene. Boy, me I tell you, me can't take the vibes at all. At all, at all. DJ into a local. Remember yellow man with official. Me have a good job and me have a rental. And when me come out Oakland, me tick up pretty gal. Physical, physical. We want to get physical, physical. So we want to get physical, physical. So we want to get physical, physical.
Come and say them a two DJ, them low local.
Oh my God.
We talk for the sound here this is international. But yellow man, you team even have enough gal. Sometime I'm muggle in Caribbean in a regal. Sometime I take a tour over Port Royal. But here all we vibe sound like Christmas carol. Me say physical, physical. Everybody get physical, physical. Cause everybody get physical, physical.
Hey!
We want to get physical, physical. And when me say, me favorite theater, Caribbean color. Me don't chat to girl when they see them P-Roller. Cause this a DJ, have enough pimpala. Me own a BMW and me own a rental. And when me come a Oakland, me pick up pretty girl. Cause physical, physical. And I say, we want to get physical, physical. And when me say, if you're happy and you love it, ball forward. Second, second. Second, mother. Oh, me a fat in a combination. Jesus Christ, we can't ram. Dance a few ram. Hey, hey, tell them up. You know, sir.
First time hearing our Lord.
Izuki, zuki, zuki, zeng, zeng, zeng.
Rabbit.
Izuki, zuki, zuki, zeng, zeng, zeng.
Flash it.
Izuki, zuki, zuki, zeng, zeng, zeng.
Tell them up.
Zuki 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 zeng zeng. Come me say pass me the paper, pass me the pen. Cause this a DJ.
And it's Gunwash News time again. It's 8:41 here on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. You know we're here every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to call in here, the number is 718-497-2128. Now I'm not exactly sure, Jack, where we're going to, where we're traveling to now, but we are traveling to Janet and Stuart Swerdlow, two of our world's most leading, foremost leaders in metaphysical study. These two can read auric fields and personal archetypes, as well as read DNA sequences and mind patterns. Jack, are we on with Stuart and Janet?
Yes, we are.
Greetings, you two.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Surviving another storm.
Another storm. Where are you guys actually located?
We're in western Michigan.
Western
About
Michigan.
About 90 miles east of Chicago.
That's interesting. I spent a couple of years in Ann Arbor when I was younger, actually. We're actually calling straight from Brooklyn, New York, and a lot of the people in our studio here have been extremely excited about the fact, well, excited and concerned about the fact that we've been seeing more and more reports of UFOs in the skies, and not only from around the world, but also here, right here in Brooklyn, New York, actually.
Well, you know, Brooklyn's weird to begin with.
Right, Brooklyn's weird. we hear news a lot that we see flying saucers actually right here, and well, I guess I shouldn't give that name, flying saucers.
Probably once a month we get UFO reports.
We get UFO reports once a month in Bushwick.
Well, you know, as I write on my website that we are in the stages now of the alien invasion scenario that the government is perpetrating on the public, and so there are going to be sightings all over the world more than there have been in the past.
So, is it all staged, Stuart, or is there like a tapering of the? Is there some real, some fake, or what's going on?
Well, of course, there's going to be a mixture of both, but right now there's a concerted effort using Blue Beam Project to project alien vehicles in the atmosphere, and as well as sighting, allowing people to sight the test aircraft that the government is producing as well. So there's a combination of both, and obviously out of, 100%, there's going to be a portion that's real alien spacecraft, but I think right now the majority is the Blue Beam and the staged sightings.
The other interesting thing is that not too long ago, CNN actually had an article kind of joking about, well, maybe the government should put forth a staged alien invasion, and then what would happen? So what's really interesting is we've been talking about this for years and years, and now on CNN they're actually mentioning that. So when you see what's going on out in the news as well as what's going on around you, you kind of start to put two and two together and things are changing.
That's kind of some fascinating stuff. Just really quick, guys, I'm getting a fast blast in right now. Someone named Kevin wants to know, what do you know about the law of one? Now, this may be a completely random question. If it is, let me know and we'll move on. Have you ever heard anything like this?
The last time I heard about that was with Edgar Cayce talking about Atlantean religious belief system, where he called them the children of the law of one. And of course, subsequent to that, there have been a lot of groups popping up here and there using that name.
The Atlanteans, I mean, that's... Can you go in a little bit about the Blu-ray or the Blue Beam project and these Atlanteans and exactly what we're experiencing right now? I mean, it's getting closer to 2012, and I mean, most of them, the majority of the public, people here in Brooklyn, New York, I mean, we don't know anything about this kind of stuff. I mean, people think we're crazy, even
for
just having
you on
the
radio. Our website, expansions.com, because we've got everything on there that you want to know.
Excellent.
Well, people in Brooklyn really are crazy, but that's another story.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. We actually have a caller on the line. Gunwash, you're on. Hello?
Hello, yes.
Hey, greetings. This is Gunwash. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Great, yes. So, calling here, saw a little information about... I'm Nick, calling from Manhattan.
Nick, do you have any questions about UFOs that you want fielded?
What's that?
You have any questions about UFOs that you want fielded?
Yeah, actually, I was looking in about this this woman named Linda from Brooklyn. She got abducted back in, like, 1989. And pretty interesting scene here. I know there was this guy named Bud Hopkins did some research on her and her case. I didn't know if you guys had any info on that. It was pretty cool.
Well, I mean, I personally don't. Maybe Stewart does or something like that. But it seems
well,
as
though... There have been so many cases, I'm not sure exactly which one, unless you mean it's the one where the woman claims she was floated out of her window and taken up into the UFO. I vaguely remember a case like that. And by the way, I read recently that Bud Hopkins did pass away earlier this year.
You know, I think it's important, too, to mention that UFO abductions are not what most people think that they are.
Right.
Yeah, because this is talking about how her encounter with something like... The people were white and dark, and their eyes were very intense, kind of like the typical one that I've always heard of. Like, I'm kind of curious as to what the more scientific explanation of, like, the way they look and
sounds
the way
like,
these abductions happen.
Sounds like a Zeta Reticuli situation to me, but, I mean, maybe Stuart knows better than I.
You know, from that description, it's not possible to say where they're from or what they are. You know, there's... literally millions of different creatures out there, different beings out there, not only from this physical universe, but from alternate realities and parallel universes.
So third and fourth dimensional.
Yeah, so, you know, it's it could be so many different possible things. Plus, it could also have been a mind control and programming event where, in the virtual reality of her matrix, a programming matrix, she may have experienced this and believed it to be a physical event. And even these mind control scenarios can leave physical marks on the body because the body doesn't know what's real or not real. Only the mind believes a story, and then the body reacts to that.
And what a lot of people don't realize is a lot of these abductions are really perpetrated by the secret global government. So it's not really what people think that they are. And people want to think about Space Brothers and all these people out there coming to help us. But there's a whole different agenda there that most people are not aware of.
Seems as though go ahead. Sure.
You know, out of 100% of abduction cases, of course, there's going to be true, real alien abductions. But again, the majority of them are going to be either mind control events or government sponsored incidences.
Fascinating. Thank you, Nick. I want to talk more about actually that mind control.
Thank you, Lattimore.
But we have a caller actually still on the line. Am I right, Jack?
Slatty.
Oh, okay,
slats.
They left. All right. In any case, so that caller left. Oh, thank you anyway.
Not slatty.
He was
so
scared.
Can you expand a little bit on what you're saying about some of these abductions actually being mind control?
Yeah, you know, a long time ago, the powers that be, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, came up with a plan that around this time period, they would create a staged alien invasion. And in order to get to the point where people would believe that the staged alien invasion was real, they had to start a program where they would abduct people, make the people believe that aliens were doing it, have UFOs sighted, go through a whole different group of phases in order to instill the belief in the population's mind pattern. And we're at the point now in 2011 where I think a majority of the people would at this point accept that aliens exist.
Yeah.
Especially in the last couple of years, when almost every week now on official conventional media, we're getting stories about planets that are Earth-like that exist, objects in space that can't be explained. I read an article before that there were 600 unexplainable items in the universe that NASA had discovered. Plus, the UN naming an alien ambassador a year or two ago.
Wait, what was that? I never heard that.
Yeah, that was she is a lady, I believe, from Malaysia. No one really knows who she is, but the UN named her and has an office in the UN building ready to prepare for alien interaction, and that was on CNN and Fox a year or so ago.
Yeah, and I actually wrote about that in one of my free e-newsletters, which people can get if they go to my site, expansions.com, and sign up. We have free forms in there. I wrote about that, so I have a lot of free information in there about these very things that we're talking about. And, yes, absolutely, that we do have that UN ambassador. The Pope's office, the Vatican, has also put forward that if we come into contact with the Space Brothers, that we should accept them as our brothers in Christ.
And that would be...
of public acceptance going on out there, and they're preparing people from all walks of life, all religions, everything, to accept alien contact.
So the Christian church asking us to allow the alien brothers in is a juke, in other words.
And that's sort of sacrilegious, because how long have they gone denying that anything beyond Earth exists?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's why
I get a little confused.
History in a heartbeat.
But
all they have to do is put it out on the media, because these same people who are behind the secret government, they also own most of the media. So whatever they want out there for public consumption, they just create stories and plant things here and there, and it's like, hey, it's been forever, so who's to question it at this point?
Jane, completely agree. And
Janet,
another...
Her name's Janet.
Janet and Stuart. So CNN, Larry King Live, I mean, Buzz Aldrin, all these other astronauts are like, listen,
life,
we were on the moon, life exists. And it's, you know, people question it. It's like, scientifically, how can you believe that things beyond us don't exist?
How could you believe that,
like,
there isn't anything else?
It's scientifically impossible.
No, agreed. You know, they've already admitted that there are at least 400 million stars in our galaxy that could support Earth-like conditions, and that there are 100 billion galaxies that are possible out there.
That's
so
billion.
If you do the math, you know, even if 0.1% had intelligent life, that's still quite a number of millions of civilizations.
And now they're also coming up with information saying that there are many binary star systems out there.
Mm.
And that's something that they never admitted before. And they're saying now that Earth is strange because we only have one star.
Right.
So
right.
That's leading to another scenario, which Stuart might want to elaborate on.
Yeah, the binary star thing is big. What exactly is that, Stuart?
Well, you know, the twinning aspect of existence is very important to the Illuminati, because as I've been teaching in my True World History seminars, you know, there is evidence to show, especially from the church at Rennes-le-Château in France, that Jesus, or the child Emmanuel, might have actually been a twin. And that one was benevolent and one was not so benevolent, hence the old term, the evil twin. That's where it came from. And so the Illuminati are very much interested in twinning. There's twinning programming, there's mirror programming. And what they have done is they tested the ignition of a giant gas planet, Jupiter, back in the early 1990s to see if they could actually create a second sun. And that was the String of Pearl comets that hit Jupiter at right angles and in specific locations. It was not a natural object. And when they realized that this actually could work, and Jupiter has physically changed, as scientists will tell you, they then realized that the real object of the second sun would become Saturn. And Saturn is Satan. And that's where it says in the Bible that we will loosen Satan for 1,000 years, you know, in Book of Revelation. And Saturn, the rings around Saturn represent the imprisonment of Satan. And then when Saturn becomes a sun and heats up, the rings, which are made out of ice particles, will melt, loosening the bonds of Satan, and then we will have a binary star system.
You mentioned, Jack, is there a music plan? Okay. Stuart, you mentioned during the talk about the binary star situation that we were actually dealing with actually some Christian stuff where it's like, and you mentioned the Emmanuel and then perhaps a brother. Now, two things that are the evil twin, in other words, two things come to mind. Number one, that evil twin sounds like something like David Koresh or something like that, right? Like some guy who's here, you know, freaking out, doing something weird and telling people he's the evil twin. And then the other thing I realized was that you mentioned Emmanuel, which is actually the Billy Meyer from the Billy Meyer protocols. And now I'm sort of making that connection, which is very interesting.
Well, yeah, he brought to the world the Talmud of Emmanuel with a J, not an I or an E. And that was the actual old Hebrew version. The name Jesus is not Hebrew. It doesn't exist in Hebrew language. Mm. And so that came, you know, way after the existence of that person. You know, that's where the idea of a Christ and an Antichrist coexisting comes from. It's a balance within the universe. And basically, you know, we're seeing a lot of activity going on around Saturn. We're seeing a lot of probes being sent to Saturn, the Pioneer probe, etc. And then, of course, last year they announced that they found this hexagon, on the southern hemisphere of Saturn. And then, of course, they said, well, that's a natural formation. Of course, it's not a natural formation. That was something that was created artificially.
Are you saying that they found a geometric formation monolith on the lower one of the lower hemispheres of Saturn?
Not a monolith, a shape. They actually, with the Pioneer spacecraft, photographed a hexagon shape on the southern pole of Saturn. And that was shown globally on CNN and all the other major news networks. And that was on the air for a while, and they kind of dropped the story.
Stuart, how many planets is Saturn away from Mars?
Well, you have Jupiter, and then you have the asteroid belt, and then you have Mars.
I mean, how about the similar structures that you're mentioning? I mean, on Mars, you can readily see a handful of man-made structures. I mean,
Well, Mars was once very Earth-like, and they are even admitting now that there are oceans on Mars, and there is an atmosphere. And in fact, in the Martian springtime, you can actually see growth or formations of greenery on the northern hemisphere of Mars.
And those are the small trees, correct?
Yes. But Saturn and Jupiter are not solid planets. They're gas. They're just gas giants floating around in space. And so it's very easy, if you have the right technology, to ignite that gas and turn it into a star.
Well, that's fascinating.
That's
So, Stuart, this is actually, our listeners probably aren't used to this kind of talk. I mean, we talk about science and
design,
things like the design and things like this, but
kiss.
we're a bit of an unorthodox show, and you know, we think you're a great sport for you and Janet coming on, and we just find this absolutely fascinating. We find this absolutely fascinating.
This is like what we live for,
this,
Stuart.
This is like what
we know. I think most people are interested because we actually have done quite a bit of work, of course, with paranormal, which is kind of involved in that. And everybody has those abilities. But the thing is they've been turned off by society. We don't talk about them. So since we don't talk about them, it's kind of clandestine. It's behind-the-scenes things that we whisper about, and, you know, you're really strange if you believe this way. But paranormal is actually normal. And so all these things that are happening now and you're seeing in the outer world, all those things, all of it exists, and we all know it exists, and for the first time it's publicly coming out. However, they want to be in charge of how that it is perceived and how that it's moved forward. They're trying to, like, herd the sheeple into a certain thought pattern so they can still control them while still bringing in this adjunct part of our society.
Stort and Janet, I think, you know, I think it's interesting that you guys are, focused on the paranormal and on the UFO topic. I think it's interesting, you sort of hear anecdotes throughout history of ghosts and UFOs, but if you look at art, I mean, how many instances of UFOs appear in art from the beginning of time, cross-cultural, whether it was with an Asian dynasty or the Romans or even in American art, there's this archetype of UFOs and the paranormal appearing through art, and it's just, at the end of the day, it's like, there has to be some connection.
Open your eyes.
Absolutely. Throughout all of history, you read the ancient Vedas everywhere. They talked about the flying saucers or the flying machines or whatever. I mean, it's everywhere. That's why it's been ignored through conventional educational systems, through the news media, through everybody. It's been ignored and hasn't really gone away. And so now that it's time for their plan to come up, now they're going to bring it out in a way that makes people accept and believe it according to their belief systems versus all the things that have gone on since time began.
Fascinating. We are, that's a great cliffhanger point. We are here with Janet and Stuart Swerdlow of Expansions.com. You know, you can always hear Gunwash every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and we're here in Bushwick, New York, where it is misting very nicely. We're going to take a short punctuation, and we'll be right back with Stuart and Janet. Jack, a.k.a. Herbert Spliffington, will you please pull that?
Yes, International, Lata MC, Shalap Yes, the Monkal, Enwood to the Last, the Monkal, Earl's Conch, the Monkal, Tony Tuck, the Monkal, Yellow Man, the Monkal, the Fanta, the Monkal, Local Highway, the Monkal, Peter Mitchell, the Monkal, Living Cliff, but I'm in the wrong Kintayan. Bubble up, you ready? Muggle up, you ready? Malayan. So caramba, la so caramba. So shangulukated, to wild bubble. So shangulukated, to wild bubble. Talking about Sandra, she yummy bubble. Talking about Ivana, she yummy bubble. Talking about Teddy, she yummy bubble. Talking about Teddy, she yummy bubble. Talking about Kiba, she yummy bubble. Talking about Dali, she yummy bubble. Talking about Kayana, she yummy bubble. Talking about so. Special delegated to wild bubble, talking about people in Pasilla, the Madula, talking about Tin and Pasilla, the Madula, talking about Burkina Pasilla, the Madula, talking about classic Pasilla, the Madula, then if you know about him, a style bar, fire, water, tell Lion. It's right now. It's me. Me no skin up. It's me. We come from my shit up. One. Have it. Do it. Yeah. I'm in the ranking town. Come to town the version. But now listen to me. You don't see no style. You don't see no style. Do it. Yeah. Is KTK why your mind knows plus? Is KTK why your mind knows plus? Let my watch yellow man get right as a rust. Watch yellow man get right as a rust. Jaja made us a power purpose. Then make the yellow man a power purpose. Then make the purple man a power purpose. Make people tired and evil famous. You want no yellow man a yellow man.
And we're back on Gunwash Radio. We're here. It's now 9:03 if you want to set your clocks. You know you can find us here every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The show is Gunwash. If you want to tune in, the dial is heritageradionetwork.com. And if you want to call in, the number is 718-497-2128. And we are currently on with two of our foremost metaphysical leaders here, Stuart and Janet Swerdlow. You guys still with us?
Yes, we're here.
Excellent. So before we went on the break, we were talking about a bunch about what's going on in space and in the sky and why that's happening in reference to what's going on Earth. And you mentioned that a lot of this had to do with mind control. And I don't want to pry. I happen to know from my personal research, because I've been following work for a long time, that you know, Stuart, a lot about mind control personally. And I was wondering if you could basically expand on like the generalities of that, just something just about that and how it's gone down in our world view as we know it.
Yes, well, that's a very, very long question, or I should say the answer will be long. But my background, and I don't know if your listeners are aware, my great uncle was the first president of the Soviet Union.
Yakov Sverdlov.
Yeah, Yakov Sverdlov. And because of that, my family was really, in the United States, let's say, monitored by the government, made sure of loyalties. And because of that, from 1970 to 1983, I was part of the Montauk Project, which was on the eastern end of Long Island, the opposite side of where Brooklyn is, and was part of a mind control, genetic manipulation, weather manipulation, time travel. All those type of esoteric experiments were done there were completed, I should say, there in 1983, but have moved on to other locations since then. The work continues.
So Montauk is destitute. There's no more...
Well, there are still things going on underground, but it's certainly not what it was all those years ago.
Well, because, you know, Montauk's always been popular, Amagansett out there and stuff, but, you know, now Montauk is becoming extremely, extremely popular for New Yorkers.
Yes, and I just to let everyone know, on December 3rd of this year, the Montauk movie will be unveiled, and I am in that movie.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and so look for advertisements concerning that premiere.
Is there anywhere will it be premiering in New York, or is it?
I believe it will actually be premiering in Connecticut first, and then it will be going to other locations.
Oh, we should try to get a cover on that or something. That's going to be an excellent that and now that that's featuring you and other people that were involved in the experiment, or is it mostly made by you?
Well, no, I am featured in the film with other people, but the movie is about the Montauk Project.
Excellent. Do you feel like you want to expand on exactly what the Montauk Project was, or is it too long
of
a story?
You know, it goes back to World War II, when the Germans were experimenting on how to control a population, and you know that's when they devised the use of fluoride in the water system,
right?
Because they knew that water could deaden the brain and make people subservient. They tried various different types of experiments psychologically, and of course, as when the war was ending, their experimentation came to an abrupt halt. However, both the Soviet Union and the United States and Britain were so interested in the information that the Germans were uncovering about mind control that during Project Paperclip after the war, they brought German scientists both to United States, Canada, and Britain, basically illegally, in order for them to continue their projects here. In fact, one of the people they brought was Wernher von Braun, who was the head of NASA, and he was the one who designed the V-2 rockets that destroyed London, and then he became the head of NASA. So there was a lot of cooperation on many other levels between the United States and Germany, even during the war. And in fact, there was a naval base in Montauk Point during the war, because the base had been there since 1799 when George Washington commissioned it supply area against the British. And during the war, the people at Montauk would see German U-boats approaching the point, submerging, and then... coming out days later, and they were never stopped.
Oh, so these German U-boats, in other words, would submerge into an unknown place and then be seen coming up later, and of course the destination was
correct.
Unknown.
That's correct.
Now, I'm one of these like, you know, middle class New York kids who spent every summer in Montauk. Now, when I go out to Montauk Point, I'm looking at, you know, nice rocks and a big cliff, and then, you know, a lighthouse. Where exactly in Montauk are we talking? Are we talking right there?
If you stand at that lighthouse and you look southwest from there, you will see the area called Camp Hero, and then it's underneath Camp Hero.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy.
And it goes down 9 levels below that region, and it's been in use again for over 200 years, but of course, it wasn't really expanded upon significantly until the middle of the 20th century.
And at which point were you, or I mean, I guess the question would be, at what point in the experiment were you brought in, or were you born into it, I guess is the question.
Well, I was brought into it from the beginning in 1970. My father, of course, being the nephew of the first president of the Soviet Union, was under quite a bit of scrutiny by the U.S. government. My grandmother was a Soviet spy, and my grandfather was sent to Britain and the U.S. in order to help found the Communist parties here and bring people back to Soviet Union. So we were always under scrutiny, and my father was kept under a base in El Paso, Texas, during the Korean War. There's still things he won't even talk about of what happened there. And he was followed for many years after the war until I was born.
So you're in the bloodline, as it were, for this, Stuart.
Yes, yes. And so that's why I was taken into use. Of course, there's other genetic reasons why. They're looking for certain combinations of genetics that make mind control and programming more easy. And then I became an anomaly because when a person is mind control and programmed, especially using the Nazi or German protocols for it, they're not supposed to remember the sessions, and they're not supposed to remember the programmers. However, my memories remained intact, and so I became an anomaly, and they studied me even further and did even after the experiment was over.
Well, how did you become so I guess the overall question is here is, like, how are you out here talking about the Montauk Project, and it's clearly that you're not supposed to be out here talking about it, and I'm sure there's a ton of people out there who aren't able to talk about it, and what inspired you or pushed you to the point where you can come out and speak on public radio about this?
Well, I've been speaking about it for quite a number of years and have written about it. And, you know, the government denies that any of it ever really happened.
Of course.
And, you know, of course, there are 7 billion people on the earth.
As of
recent. How many do you think are listening or paying attention to it?
Well,
and,
you know
there always has to be a safety valve for everything. You know, everything has to be in balance. And so, therefore, they can let him speak about it. But, of course, you know, we get a lot of targeting to try and keep what we say or monitored from reaching a lot of people. But, you know, we eventually get out there and we get the information out. But, like I said, they can only suppress so much because there always has to be a balance in the universe, both positive and negative, you know, true and false, so on and so forth. There's always the balance.
You know, sometimes I talk to my DJ and I say, you know, Spliff, I'm worried I'm going to get in trouble because these people are afraid. You know, I like to talk about racy stuff over here. I mean, that must be. And then Spliff says, well, what secrets do you know? And I say, well, the ones on the internet. And then, you know, for someone like you, I would imagine that coming out for something like this is astronomical. I mean, do you guys ever get pressure?
Of course, you know, we're attacked on a daily basis.
Really?
Jeez. And, you know, the thing is, up until, let's say, the early 90s, it was very difficult to talk about this. You were not permitted, and people were killed. But since the early 90s, things have changed. They let people talk about these things because the mind control is so pervasive that no one, they feel that no one's going to accept or believe it. And so then they ridicule the whistleblowers and they discredit them and they make them look foolish. So that's the new methodology. Instead of shutting people up or killing them, they just discredit them or create scenarios to make people disbelieve them.
And then it becomes their peers that try to close them down versus them. So therefore, why should they attack you if they can stir up the rabble around you and have the rabble attack you?
So Janet and Stuart, Mike, I guess my question is how you know, the U.S. versus the rest of the world. I mean, I know Japan and Russia and England have all released documents on everything, and we're sort of like behind, but I feel like we're ahead of the game. I mean, what's that whole situation? I mean, like, why is the United States the last entity on the planet that's releasing anything?
Because they're the ones that have done the worst things.
You got it.
You know, exactly.
If people knew what the U.S. government has done, it would make the Germans look like school children.
And, you know, besides that, it's still all orchestrated. You know, and the people want it. And, you know, it's a tug-of-war game. The people want it, and the government says no, and the people want it. You know, so again, it's an outlet. It's a safety valve for people to vent their frustrations. And then the government will say, okay, here you go. But, you know, they only feed them what it is they want them. There really is no, you know, privacy or Freedom of Information Act or any of that. Whatever the people are given, there's a reason and it's orchestrated, but it's a show put on. It's always a show. It's a dance, you know, and people have to get used to that, but your average person on the street never questions it. They think, wow, we won. We got something. So Japan's doing it and all these other countries are doing it. Why isn't doing it? And so, you know, it's a lot more than what people really want to admit.
And those countries are not releasing all the information. No. They're only releasing what's good for public, confirmation for the staged alien invasion. They're not releasing the details and the real story.
But it's all public consumption, public orchestration.
So some of this material we're supposed to see, right? If there's a staged alien invasion going on, I mean, some of this we're supposed to see, some of this we're not supposed to see. So what can we expect to see, I guess? That's fabricated, because I'm expecting to see some stuff, but obviously it's going to be fabricated because it's part of the plan of the government, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, the most obvious is the History Channel. I mean, you turn to the History Channel, it's like Ancient Aliens.
Yes.
Every 30 minutes, and it's like that's
the Sci-Fi Channel.
In the last 3 years, that's never been like that.
I feel like they're just giving up the information that finally we're finally onto it. It's like the Nazca lines, like humans can't make that shit. So obviously they're giving some of it up until it gets to a point where it's not safe anymore for them to give up the information, and then we end up with people like Stuart and Janet who take this incredibly hard road to share that esoteric information with us.
You know, what you're seeing on History Channel, Discovery Channel, you know, that's just designed to imprint the public to accept that aliens exist. They're not giving you the real information, the real story.
Of course,
you know. And I even saw a show. One of my children actually called me in and said there was a show on Discovery about what the people should know to do on Earth if the aliens invade.
Oh, they really do that?
Was actually a series about what you should do and how you should flee into the woods and how you should communicate with each other.
And again, I actually wrote about that in one of my e-newsletters free on the site for anybody who wants to go back and research it out. But they always tell you what they're going to do, and they give you the heads up because it's that's just part of one of universal laws. You know, they're not really forcing anything on you. They're telling you what they're going to do, and then they fulfill that because that's in your mind, and you help them fulfill that because that's in your mind.
Yeah, it's fucking. I guess it's a tightrope like that. Yeah.
But you have Stephen Hawking who has that guy. No. I mean, let's not discredit Stephen Hawking, but. You know, his entire mantra now is, you know, let's be fearful of
that's the only true thing he's ever said.
Oh, fair enough. I read A Brief History of Time. It seemed pretty compelling to me, but I understand what you're saying.
Let's make movies.
Well, you know, most people who are out there as public icons are out there for a reason. Again, remember, who controls the media?
Illuminati.
Who's really running the
Illuminati.
Global thing? You know, there really is one global government out there, and there's only the semblance that there are different governments and, you know, this and that. But truly, there is only one power running the world. And when people realize that, again, it's a wake-up time. So,
well, listen, I'm personally scared of the reptilians. I'm personally scared of them.
I mean, the newscasters.
I've heard
it's out there.
I've heard that when you're in the same room as these things, you will die because they're so scary. That's what I've heard.
Well, that's an exaggeration. You know, we are part reptilian. Human beings have reptilian DNA.
So, what
that means is you're afraid of part of yourself, too. You know, we have a reptilian brainstem. We have reptilian skin that wrinkles and peels. We have reptilian lymphatic system. We are part reptilian. And so, you know, we have to look at who and what we are and what we've attracted into our existence.
My producer is clapping because you just released him.
You're afraid because people who are afraid, they're much easier to control. And so what we do is we teach people how to get back in your own personal power. Like what Stuart just said, you know, there's no reason really to have fear for anything. What you fear, what you don't understand. And so what we do is we try and lay everything out for you, first of all, to understand what's truly going on out there so you're not afraid of it and you understand it is a show. And second of all, to reach into your own personal power because you have access to your mind, which is the most powerful tool that you have. But people don't know how to use that, and that's what we teach you, how to direct that personal power.
And that
so regardless
can all
of circumstances, that you get through it and that you are okay.
And all that stuff can be followed and found on expansions.com. Am I wrong?
Absolutely.
I want people to be able to find a place where they can
use it. We want to plug expansions.com.
For everyone out there, expansions.com, spelled like it sounds, for Janet and Stuart Swerdlow.
We have DVDs, we have seminars, we have workshops. I mean, we are dedicated to bringing this information out there so that people understand their own personal power, at least those who are ready to accept that, because people are afraid of the positive, their own positive attributes and positive experiences as much as they're afraid of the negative.
So
a lot of times people just kind of get frozen in the status quo, and that's when the Illuminati and all the global handlers come in and say, wow, this is where we're going to grab your mind because you don't know what to do with it. We'll help you out.
There you go. So if I'm experiencing, I got to tell you, I experience headaches and nausea on a constant basis. Does that mean I'm being mind controlled?
Not necessarily. Right, I mean, there could be other reasons why that is happening.
I hope I'm not being mind controlled.
Well, he's smoking Janet and Stuart, he's smoking regs.
I'm smoking I smoke regular, that's why.
Not sour.
Not sour.
So Janet and Stuart, I mean, like what led you on this journey of trying to get the word out?
What started it, in other words?
Yeah, what was the catalyst?
Well, the catalyst for me was when the Montauk project abruptly ended in 1983. It was kind of like being unplugged after you've been plugged into a socket your whole life, and then, you know, all of a sudden electricity, you know, flows out of you, and you don't know what the heck to do. And I went to all kinds of different phases. I wrote about it in my book, Montauk Project Alien Connection, and there's a sequel called Blue Blood, True Blood. I tried to commit suicide. I became alcoholic.
Yikes.
I
Jesus
did all
Christ.
Kinds of things.
Well, I'm in that one.
The ghost of Montauk.
You're chilling with ghosts.
All right, so everyone's excited now because we're all getting a little wavy and towards the end of the show. I got one more, and we're going to give the shouts to everyone that needs them, but I got one more thing. About a year and a half ago, me and my producer, Jack, we tried to get Michael Tesarian on the phone, man. We tried to get that guy. We wanted to know what he thought about the Illuminati. We wanted to know what he thought about the reptilians, and that guy came on, and the first question we asked, he hung up.
Freemasons?
What did you ask him?
We asked him. It was this kid, Rectech, man. He asked him. He said, Michael, if all the things you're talking about, vampire cults and pedophiles and all these cults and aliens and reptilians, if they really exist, how do you sleep at night? And I think it was the how do you sleep at night thing that got him to hang up. I think he took it the wrong
immediately
way.
Immediately hung up.
He immediately hung up. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I have met him a couple of times, but I don't really know him very well, so I couldn't explain why he would do that.
Yeah.
I don't sleep at all.
Yeah, you don't. That's what I'm saying. I was
and
like,
guess
I was
what?
Like,
he's not gonna hang up on me.
Janet and Stuart.
Listen, Janet and Stuart Swerdlow. You guys were great. I mean, you guys are a little unorthodox for our show, but then again, our show is somewhat unorthodox. We're gonna make sure we tell everyone we know, including listeners right now, that we can find you guys at expansions.com. This has been Gunwash with Stuart and Janet Swerdlow. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. We want to have you on in the future.
Please come on again.
It's 2012 soon, so let's try to get one in before the rapture or whatever it's called. You know?
We'd love to be on again.
Thank you so much for having us.
It was excellent.
Hey, Janet and Stuart, one more question. I mean, like, what's the 10-year spread on the UFOs? I mean,
is there 10 years
like,
to go?
Are we going to see the full force of this entity, or like, what's the deal?
My feeling is that during the 2012 London Olympics, that's when they will blast open the staged alien invasion and let the world believe that we're being attacked, and that will lead to a staged second coming, and then the whole New World Order, New World Religion thing kicks in.
All right, so I'll be watching curling, and then we'll watch the aliens come down. All right, so that's it. This has been Gunwash every Wednesday, 8:30 on heritageradionetwork.com. Sorry for all the listeners that didn't get a call in, but next week it's 718-497-2128. Stuart and Janet, thank you so much for having us. This has been Aaron Spliffington. We'll see you next week. Jack, take him out,
yes,
baby.
That's not true, see? Boy, I mean, I tell you, I can't take the vibes at all. At all, at all. Boy. Yo.
want to get physical, physical. God, this a DJ, him do a low color. Remember yellow man, well official. Me have a bench of me and me have a rental. And when me come a Oakland, me tick up pretty girl. Cause physical, physical. We want to get physical, physical. So we want to get physical, physical. So we want to get physical, physical. Come me say them a two DJ, them don't local. We talk for the sound, this is international. But yellow man a youth, him even have enough gal. Sometime him muggle in Caribbean but in a regal. Sometime him take a tour over Port Royal. But here all we vibe sound like Christmas carol. Me say physical, physical. We want to get physical, physical. Cause everybody get physical, physical.
Hey!
We want to get physical, physical. And when me say, me favorite theater, Caribbean girl. Me don't chat to girl when they see them P-Roll. Cause this a DJ, have enough pimple. Me own a BMW and me own a rental. And when me come a Oakland, me pick up pretty girl. Cause physical, physical. So we want to get physical, physical. And when me say, if you're happy and you love it, ball forward.
Circle, circle. Mother.
Oh, me and Fatty in a combination. Jesus Christ, we can't run. Dance up your arm. Hey, hey, tell them up. Here we don't stop.
Bonus line, here we now, Lord.
Izuki, zeng, zeng.
Rabbit.
Izuki, zeng, zeng.
Flash it.
Izuki, zeng, zeng.
Tell them up.
Izuki, zeng, zeng. Come me say pass me the paper, pass me the pen. Cause this a DJ, have enough girlfriend. Me wife and me sweetheart, me want them fi friend. But tell you yellow man, him want both of them. But this is something I come fi tell them again. Hey. Izuki, zeng, zeng.
Rabbit.
Izuki, zeng, zeng.
Flash it.
Izuki, zeng, zeng.
Hear it. Kushung Peng, we vine sound like FM. Kushung Peng, eh, we vine sound like FM. Me say AM, AM. We vine sound like FM. Me say AM, AM. We vine sound like FM. Kushung Peng, for tell them better than them. Kushung Peng, eh, we vine sound like FM. Kushung Peng, me a yellow man a tell them say.
Izuki, zeng, zeng,
red.
Izuki, zeng, zeng, zeng,
flash it.
Izuki, zeng, 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 tell them. Izuki, zeng, zeng, zeng. He's a yellow man, come to tell them again. Car, half of them a going laugh, half of them. Car, them a ride donkey, me drive BM. Circle, circle. Yeah. Oh, you come man called Little John. Yeah.
Look at all the workers, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fabs, you want it now? Jam up! Your belly full up. Oh. Boy, I'm going to show you. Boy, I knew you. Them talk about me. Them tell lies. I'm faint. I knew you. You know you see?
Oh, yeah.
Say what?
Look how they wake us so hard. I cry to me name go abroad.
Say if you ever need me, call me on your phone like Baba. Circle, 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 circle.
Look out,
murder, murder.
Oh yeah.
Yellow man, what a new style, murder.
Look how they break us so wide.
Hey, yo.
I can't feel me name go abroad, boy. I tap on me smoke.
How we are say fatted?
Yeah.
Man for your man says,
I'm not afraid of flash.
Goodness gracious,
I'm not afraid of flash.
Yeah,
over my body.
No way.
I'm not afraid of flash.
Girl, way.
Over my body.
No, I'm not afraid of flash.
Oh no.
So
look how they work us so hard.
In a me yard.
I can't feel me name go up.
Fatted your heart, boy.
Oh.
Gentlemen,
boy I'm tired for you on this discotheque. I want to do it live and direct on tape and cassette my lion. Go in here. Boom!
Yeah! Special request to a man called Captain Sinbad. And special request to a man called Ivan Cliff, a man called Papa Ty, a man called Envy John Jalassin. And special request to a man called Peter Mitchell.
Look how they work us so hard. I can't see me name go wide, wide road. I talk about me smoke and dad. I talk about me smoke and dad. So I'm not afraid of full of shit. I'm not afraid of flashing over my back, over my back. I'm not afraid of flashing, oh no. I'm not afraid of flashing, oh no. Look how they work us so hard. I can't feel me limbo. But if you want me, I will love it so far. Pick up me up a little.
Wash and wash and wash and wash.